you. Thank you. All right. Amen. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hebrews chapter number 11. Appreciate that enthusiasm. And you can't even pronounce my name, but I do appreciate the enthusiasm. Anyhow, hey, I love it when the Lord puts something together, don't you? When you know that God is in it. I knew I'd be preaching this morning, and so last night, late last night, I was looking at a couple of messages and kind of looking at those two messages and wondering, you know, which one should I preach, and didn't really have liberty on either of them, so I went to bed and I woke up this morning and was still thinking about those two messages and thought to myself, well, it's going to be one or the other, you know, I got to make a decision here. And as I was getting ready, the Lord brought another thought to my mind, another message, and it's on faith. And I thought, well, that'll be good, on faith. And then I was sitting here and I heard that song, and when they opened up, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And it's just like the Lord said, hey, I know what we need, and just trust me, and it'll be all right. Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to read verse number 1, and then we'll get to verse number 6. We'll pray and be seated. Let's start out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Look if you would at verse number 6. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to give you this morning quickly my definition of faith. And I don't know if you'll find it in a textbook. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that you won't. And it's not the most scholarly definition, but I'm a simple person. My definition of faith. I'm a bus kid, and I wasn't raised in church, and I can remember coming to church and experiencing everything for the first time and hearing these definitions, you know, and they would talk about faith, and they would say things like, preachers would say things like, faith is a reverential trust. And everybody would go, amen. And I'd say, what does that mean? And I want a reverential trust. I have no idea what it means. And I would hear these flowery definitions of some of these Bible words, and I eventually learned what it meant. But I want to give you a simple definition of faith this morning. Let's pray. Then you can be seated. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you would just be everything that we need this morning. As we open up the Bible, and as we preach it, and as we read the stories and talk about Bible characters, Lord, I pray that you would be in our midst. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move us to have greater faith in you in these last days. We love you, Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us to give you everything we have while we can. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Faith. What is faith? My simple definition of the word faith is this. You'll understand it better when I'm done, but faith is believing. Number one, that God is. What's the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Faith is number one, believing that God is. Number two, believing that God can. And number three, believing that God will. And so my question for you this morning, Hiles Anderson College, is do you have faith? Do you have a belief in your heart that God is, that God can, and that God will. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to believe that God is. The apostle said about faith, Lord, increase our faith. And whatever belief you have this morning that God is, that God can, and that God will, we need our faith to be increased. Amen. We need to have more faith. Yes, we need to have more belief that God is, and God can, and God will. The world says is God. That's what they say. I read a recent report, I think it was a Pew Research report, that said that 49% of young people who are raised in Christianity, 49% of them no longer believe in God. Many of them are atheists, and as you go out soul winning, you'll encounter more and more people in society who have that question, is God? Is God real? And is God able? And is God alive? And they wonder that, and they question, is God? But teenager, college student, listen to me this morning. As a Christian with a Bible and faith, we ought to be able to say, not is God, but God is. Do you have faith this morning that God is real, that God is alive, and that he's sufficient, that he can meet your every need? Hey, not is God, but God is. I can remember coming to youth conference years ago and bringing our youth group from West Virginia. We went over here. I forget now which auditorium it was. It may have been the Jack Hiles Auditorium. I forget. But I remember sitting there in the pews, and they showed a video. And that video blew me away. For the first time, I had never seen anything like this. And they showed a video of some young people doing what they call the blasphemy challenge. This is years ago. I have no idea if it's popular now, and I hope to God that it's not. But it was a group of young people, thousands of people, not just young people, but they showed the young people who looked like normal teenagers, and they were dressed normally, and they looked fine, but they would take a camera and they would video themselves blaspheming God, taking the verse out of context, that the unpardonable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Many of you that were at that youth conference probably remember that, and as these young people would look into a camera and they would say innocently, well, I guess if there is a God, I just want him to know that I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost right now, so my sins can't be forgiven, and I guess that's okay. And the camera would turn off, and it would go to another person. A young man, clean cut, looks like he could be sitting here, and he'd sit there and boldly and arrogantly say, I just want everybody to know that I'm taking the blasphemy challenge, and I guess there is no God, and if there is, my sins can't be forgiven, and so, okay, that's all I have to say. And the camera would go off, and they'd go to another young man, and they showed that time and time and time again, young people declaring that there is no God and taking the blasphemy challenge. But listen to me, young person, it doesn't matter what the world says. They can say all day long, is God? Let the Christian know that God is. Hey, that's faith. That's faith. Believing that God is. Do you believe that this morning? That God is? Secondly, God can. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 78. Man, I love this passage of Scripture. Psalm 78. The psalmist records the miracles of God in Psalm 78. He testifies to the hand of God in the life of the children of Israel. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. He says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Look, he divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. We read that in the book of Genesis, or Exodus. Verse 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them drink as of out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and he caused waters to run down like rivers. Let me just stop and say right here that I believe every single word of the Bible, that I believe every single miracle that we read in the Bible. I can't explain it all, but I believe it all. And I believe the same God who performed those miracles is alive today. We read in Psalm 78 all that he did, how he parted the Red Sea and he gave water out of a rock. But look, if you would, at verse number 18. The Bible says, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Verse 19. And yea, they spake against God. Hey, we're not talking about the world speaking against God. This is the children of Israel. The same ones who saw the miracles, the same ones who had seen the parting of the Red Sea, the same people who had experienced the mighty hand of God. The Bible says in verse 19, they spake against God. And look at the famous question that they said. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They had a thought, they had a question in their mind. Can God? And I'm here to tell you this morning, young person, God can. Amen. And that's faith. Faith is believing that God is, but faith is also believing that God can. God can. Do you believe that? There's going to be times in college where you say to yourself, can God? You're going to look at your work and you're going to look at your school bill and you're going to look at your bus route and you're going to look at your life and you're going to say to yourself, can God? Oh, I'm here to encourage you this morning. Have faith. When those times come, get in your Bible and get on your knees and rest assured that God can. That's faith. Believing that God can. I expect the world to be skeptical. I expect them to criticize. I expect the world to cast doubts. They've never understood the Bible. They've never understood who we are. They never will understand it. But God's people should never ask, can God? They should believe that God can. Have the faith to say that God can. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed, for I am the Lord. I change not. God can. His throne is not unoccupied. His glory will never fade. His power will never wane. His word is always sure. His mercies are new every morning, and his eye is in every place. Young person, believe it in your heart. God is, and God can. Not can God, but God can. It's time we believe that again. The question is often asked, can God save America? God can. Hey, I can't. Hiles Anderson College can't. I mean, some preacher that maybe you look up to, he can't. But can God? God can. Absolutely he can. Can God build his church? I'm talking to some young men, and in a few years you'll graduate, and all you'll have in your hand is a Bible, and you'll go to a community somewhere, and you'll start a church, or maybe a church will be hurt and broken, and you'll walk around in your office, you'll pray on a Saturday night, and the devil will whisper in your ear, can God build a church, and can God save a soul, and can God use your sermon? Believe in your heart, God can. God can. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? A belief that God is, that God can, and then finally that God will. And that separates the men from the boys right there. Having the simple faith to believe that God is, that God can, and that God will. I can remember enrolling at Hiles Anderson College, and my family, my mom was fine with the decision. My dad is Muslim, and don't tell Tony Hudson that tomorrow, all right? But anyways, my dad's Muslim, and he was very much against me being a preacher, very much against me coming to Bible college, and that's another story for another day. I can remember working a couple of jobs and trying to get through and working hard and preaching on the weekends and working a bus route on the weekends and trying to just make it. About halfway through that semester, or my second semester, my bill was overdue. I can still remember how much money I owed, $434.11. I'll never forget that number, $434.11. And I can remember saying to myself, man, I don't have it. Some of you are going to experience that. I don't have it. $434, I know maybe it doesn't sound like much, but to me it might as well have been $4 million, because I didn't have it. And I can remember thinking to myself, you know, I could probably go down to the finance office and work something out. I could probably go down there and talk to a lady and maybe work out a payment plan, and I could probably do something like that. But inside of my heart, I just decided, you know what? It's time that we figure out, can God? And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't go down to the finance office. I didn't call my preacher and ask for some money, you know, from the college account. I didn't do anything like that. I can remember going out to the woods back behind the college. I can remember hearing stories how Kevin Wynn would walk around the trees and pray that God would use him. And I can remember just being innocent and having faith to believe that if God could do it for Kevin Wynn and do it for others, and then surely he could do it for me. I can remember walking around a tree behind the college and just praying. And I probably said that number a million times, $434.11, $434.11. God, I'm working as hard as I can, and I'm saving money, or I'm trying to save money, and I'm spending it properly, and I'm tithing, and I'm doing everything I know to do. $434.11. The deadline came closer. Man, the last thing I wanted was to hear my name called on some list saying that I couldn't be in school. And I was praying $434.11. Nothing came in the mail. Nothing came out of the sky. I got my check, and it wasn't any bigger, and it was already spent before I could even put it on my school bill. I remember the day of the withdrawal, going down to the business office and thinking to myself, I guess I'm going to have to work something out. I certainly want to stay in college. And walking in, waiting in line, and when I got to the lady there, she looked up my last name, and I was about to explain my story. Ma'am, I owe $434.11. And if you'll give me a moment, if you'll give me a couple of weeks, I promise that, and I had it all rehearsed in my mind. She said, what's your name? I said, Abdel Judah. She said, what was that again? And like everybody, but anyhow, you'll get that. It comes in waves, I guess. But they laughed more at me than they did at your joke. But anyways, I was expecting to see a bill. I was expecting to see my name on a list, and I knew the number, 43411. She said, you don't know anything. Hey, listen to me, I never told anybody. I didn't tell my pastor, I didn't tell anybody. 43411. I looked at her and I said, I think that's impossible. I said, I know that I owe this, and I didn't put that money on my bill. And she looked in her records and she said, somebody paid it. And I said, who was it? She said, you know, we're really not allowed to tell you who it was. And I said, please tell me who it was. And somehow I convinced her to tell me who it was, who wrote the check. And she looked at me and she said, it was a man by the name of Issa Judah. That's my dad, my Muslim father. Hey, he had never given me any money prior to that and hasn't given me a whole lot since then. But as I was praying around that tree, God must have spoke to his heart. And God, I don't know how he knew that I owed $434.11. We've never talked about it to this day. And listen to me, all I can say is the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And you have to have faith that God is and that God can and that God will. Hey, do you believe that this morning? I can remember graduating from this place and getting married, and my wife had a green Plymouth Acclaim. Little green Plymouth Acclaim. She loved that car. I hated it, but it was fine. Little green Plymouth Acclaim. We had a plan. We were going to stay in the area for 1 year, and then we were going to go off to serve the Lord somewhere. We graduated, got married, and she got that car, and I can remember, you know, we're newlyweds, and everything's new, and man, we're just on cloud nine. And I came home from work one day, living in an apartment in Hammond, and came home from work one day, and she was just upset. She was crying. She was crying and upset. And I looked at her, I said, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. I said, what is it? I'm nervous, you know. I'm like, what happened? And she said, nothing. And I said, babe, you got to tell me. I said, I'll help it. I'll fix it. And she just looked at me and she said, it went thunk. I said, what? She said, it went thunk. I said, what went thunk? She said, the car. And I said, oh, okay. Now listen, I'm not a mechanic. She didn't know that. She does now. I said, well, let me take a look at it, you know. It's foolish. Went out there, you know, took me 25 minutes to figure out how to pop the hood and keep it open. I'm out there looking around, you know, checking stuff, you know, sweating, hoping she doesn't come out to realize I have no idea what's going on. I'm checking fluids. Oh, looks good to me. You know, I said, well, I'll take it for a test drive. I got in the car and I went around the block. And I remember stopping at that first stop sign there on Idaho Street in Hammond. And then I made a left, and I was driving along, and I thought, man, it's fine, you know, there's no problem. And then I stopped again, and it went thunk. I said, okay. Went, and it wouldn't get out of first gear. So it was just there. It was just stuck in first gear, like 15 miles an hour. Wouldn't go any further. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I am Arab, and I do know money. And I thought, this thunk is going to be expensive. That was my thought. And so, long story short, I took it to a transmission shop. And there I took it there, and he test drove it, and it went thunk on him. And he said, well, it's probably the transmission. He said, but I can't guarantee it. I said, okay. He said it's going to cost about $1,000 to look at, to open it up, to figure it out. And he said, but just so you know, I can't guarantee that that's the case. Then he gave me a price for a new transmission, and I walked out of there discouraged, just discouraged. And I said, man, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Took to another transmission shop, same thing. And every day, my wife's going to work driving this car. She would drive. She worked at the Holiday Inn right down here on Route 30. And so she would drive from Hammond, and she would go down Indianapolis, and about, you know, 5 minutes into the drive, the car would go thunk. And then she'd be in the right lane, only going like 10 miles an hour. And everybody would be driving, you know, and she would just get upset. And it just happened to her all the time. And I didn't know what to do. And I took the two transmission shops, and none of them could guarantee that they could fix it outside of a major repair and put a new transmission in it. And I thought, man, I don't have that money. I called my best friend, C.W. Kennedy. C.W.'s pastoring a church now in Alabama, and I called him. I said, C.W., you know anything about cars? He said, yeah. I said, come on over, man. You got to check this thing out. He didn't know anything about cars. He came over. He said, what's the problem? I said, brother, I said, it's going thunk. I said, that's what I could tell you. We got in it, took it around the block. It thunked. Couldn't get it out of first gear. He said, man, I don't know what to tell you. And I was getting ready to walk away, and I God is my witness, C.W. standing right there. I looked at him. I said, C.W., let me tell you something. I said, the Lord knows that I need this car to make it. The Lord knows that in just about a year, I'm going to go serve him, and I don't have $1,000. We don't have $1,500. C.W., the Lord knows that God, he knows that I need this car. I said, C.W., do you think that God can fix the car? He said, yeah. And he wild-eyed, you know, yeah. I said, let's pray. He said, okay. He bowed his head and looked at me, and I prayed. Now listen, I'm not some great man of faith, but I just prayed. Lord, I put my hand on the hood of the car right there in front of our apartment. I said, Lord, I said, you know we need this car. I said, you know my wife needs this car, and I need her to have this job. And Lord, you know that we're going to serve you. And I prayed this prayer, Lord, help it to last for a year. Help it to last until we leave, and that's all we need it for. We got in the car, me and C.W., took it around the block, and he's looking at me, smiling, waiting, you know, waiting for it to thunk. And I don't know, your best friends are sometimes like, they can't wait for you to fail. You ever notice that? And he's waiting for it to happen, you know, he can't wait. Man, we stopped at that same stoplight, stop sign, no thunk. We make that left, no thunk. We got it up to 30, 35 miles an hour. 40 miles an hour, and then to heights that I will not describe, but we got it going. We went to Indianapolis. We got it moving, and no thunk. Every time we would stop, we would wait, and C.W. finally just kind of put his head down like he was disappointed. I said, man, what a friend. Took it home. Gave it to my wife. I said, honey, I said, Minda, I said, it's fixed. She said, really? I said, I think so. I said, I think so. It's fixed. She said, okay. She drove it the next day. Man, she went off to work in the morning. I went off to work in the morning. I can remember coming home just thinking, oh, I hope she's okay. I came into the apartment. She was fine. I said, how was the car? She said, oh, it was great. She said, it's fixed. I said, okay. I didn't tell her, you know, that I didn't take it to a transmission shop and have it replaced. We prayed over it. Long story short, for one solid year, as a matter of fact, the day we loaded the truck to leave and to go to Parkersburg, the day we loaded, I had prayed, Lord, help it to last as long as I'm here. The day we loaded the truck, My father-in-law was there and my mother-in-law was there. They were helping us pack our belongings. We were going to take two cars to Parkersburg. And I had forgotten all about the issue that it had. And my father-in-law drove the car and he took it down the road. And he came back. He said, "I think there's something wrong with the car." I said, "What was it?" He said, "Man, it made this noise. And I said, "Thunk?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, hey, Dad," I said, "it's yours, man. I'm not taking it with me." And I took off, went to West Virginia. You say, "Brother Judah, is that a true story?" Yes, it is. Hey, do you have faith that God is, that God can, and that God will? I have a prayer that God will give us another Kevin Wynn out of this room. That'll go to a mission field, that'll go to a foreign country and look around and say, "You know what? All I need is God. God is, and God can, and God will." I have a prayer that God will give us preachers who will learn at Hiles Anderson College that God is all we need. God is, God can, and God will. And do you have faith? Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I remember going to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and having a big day on the buses. Took a bus route and took it from a good friend of mine, Brother Chris Lowe, and took that route and began to work that route. And soon we were having a big day. And I can remember some big days, you know, you should approach every big day, you know, with the Lord. That's how you should approach it. Now, you don't always do that, but you should. And I can remember this particular big day saying, "Lord, I just need you to bless this route. Country route, you know, there in Parkersburg, and I'm from the city, and the route was growing and doing well, but I can remember visiting all day and extra hours on Monday and Tuesday, visiting that route and hoping for over 100 and just praying for over 100 and only had a handful of workers. And I can remember Sunday morning or all night long praying Saturday and praying with Pastor Lamb and other people of the church that God would give us a great day and that he'd give us many people saved and that he'd help me maybe to have 100 on the bus. And there weren't big apartment complexes and there weren't millions of people. He had to do it. And I had knocked every door that I could and talked to every person and given out every invitation. And I was looking at my list. I didn't know if I'd have 100 or not. I had no idea, but I can remember praying and asking God to do something. And that Sunday morning, man, we started and it seemed like every stop that we went to, there were more kids there than I thought would be there. And every stop was that way. And when that day was over, we had 180 people that rode that bus, two buses, but that rode that bus route to church. Hey, God is. God can. And God will. And he wants to. We need to have faith again. It seems to me that so much of Christianity is depressed. You talk to preachers and they're discouraged. You talk to people in Bible college and they're discouraged. And there's no doubt, hey, the devil has had his way. He's had his way in our churches and in our country. And man, you follow the election and listen, it's enough to discourage a person. But let the world shout, "Can God?" Let the Christian say, "God can." Amen. Let the world wonder, "Is God?" Let the Christian know, "God is." Amen. And help us to have the faith to see that he will. God, any mountains you think are uncrossable. God, any tunnels you can't, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. I know a God who specializes in things thought impossible. He knows 1,000 ways to take care of you. Amen. God is. God can, and God will. God can save. Hey, God can keep. God can forgive. God can reach the furthest soul away. God can change the heart of a prodigal son and a prodigal daughter. God can reach a community with a bus route. God can build a church. Do you have faith to believe it? Have you lost your faith? Is it in your head but not in your heart? God, give us a generation at Hiles Anderson College that'll believe. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Now, what is faith, Brother Judah? Faith is believing that God is, that God can, and that God will. I can remember the first time I ever stepped foot in this auditorium. And I'll close with this. I came here to hear Brother Hiles. There was a conference, and I forget what conference it was now, but he was going to preach here, and my bus captain invited me and said, you gotta hear this preacher. We came, we sat, I want to say we sat right over here somewhere. And the doors opened up, and it was a big conference. College students were here, but preachers from all across the country were here. The doors opened up, and everybody went crazy, you know. And I'm looking around, like, what's going on here? And like, where am I? But everybody was going crazy, and the doors opened up, and some men marched out, and people were clapping, and then the door closed, and the whole room went, And I looked at my bus captain. I said, what's the deal? He said, I don't know. He said, Brother Hiles isn't here. I thought, oh, well, that'll be all right. The man who was conducting the meeting stood, and he said, Brother Hiles' flight is delayed, and he's not going to make it tonight, but we have so-and-so, and so-and-so is going to preach. And you know, nobody really responded. Man stood up, and I'll never forget, he preached on prayer. He preached on bombarding heaven, holding the line, praying without ceasing. And he gave an invitation, and I was just a bus kid. I didn't have a suit, didn't have church clothes, and I can remember praying and coming down to the altar and just very innocently praying, Lord, you know, I heard that man preach. And Lord, you know our situation. We don't have much, and we don't have any money, and I sure would like to have a new suit. That's what I prayed, a new suit. Sure would like to have a new suit. Amen. I walked back, and the service was over. We got back into the bus, and our whole bus there from Jordan Baptist, they were kind of disappointed, and they were kind of, you know, boy, I wish Brother Hiles was there, and they were kind of voicing their disappointment in the service and in the message. And I can remember just sitting there and looking out the window and saying, well, I don't know who Brother Hiles is. I'm sure he was fine, but I want God to give me a new suit. I mean, I was excited about it. I think the Lord's going to give me a new suit. I prayed for it. And this man just spent like 2 hours telling us that God will answer prayer. And I believe he will. Next day came and there was no suit. And Saturday rolled around and there was nothing. And I had kind of in my heart given up a little bit that God was going to give me a new suit. Saturday night, day before church, knock on the door there at the apartment in Blue Island. Brother Bill was there. He had a bag of clothes, dress shirts and pants and dress shoes and dress socks and all kinds of things. And he said, Abdel, he said, we're so proud of you. We want you to have this. He said, these are just some clothes. They're stuff that I've worn, that my brothers have worn, and there's a lot there, and we want you to have this. And man, I was excited, and I thanked him and gave him a hug and said, thank you, Brother Bill. And he said, we just want you to have it. I said, man, that's great. And I closed the door, and I walked away, and when I walked away, the thought hit me, man, this is great, but it's not a new suit. It's not a new suit. And as soon as that thought hit me, there was another knock on the door. I opened it up, and Brother Bill was still standing there. He said, man, you didn't let me finish. I said, what is it? And he pulled out from behind, and there was a JCPenney bag, brand new suit. I thought to myself, man, let me tell you what they'll say about this kind of preaching today. Oh, that's shallow. Listen to me well. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I've preached all over the place. I know what I'm talking about. They'll say things. Oh, that's shallow. That's a bunch of, and that's why churches are dying all across this country. That's why youth groups are dying. That's why 49% of people are walking out of church saying, I don't believe in God. We need men of God and women of God to have the faith of God to say God is and God can and God will. Do you have faith? Do you believe that God can do anything but fail? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes?